And so this morning, I want to look at the Christmas story from the perspective of the wise men. We're going to start just by reading the passage. Luke doesn't mention them in his account, so we're just going to read Matthew 2, 1 through 2, or 1 through 12, I'm sorry. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Thank you. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all of the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Because the wise men are only mentioned once in the Bible and only in this account, we don't actually know much about them. Not much is actually said about their history or who they are. But I guess because they're fun characters, there has been a lot of fable and legend that has sprung up about the wise men and who they were. And then some theological connections that, depending on who you read or who you ask, could be coincidence or prophetic expressions that the wise men had. So we're going to start by looking at some of these stories or legends. You can change it for me. One of the stories that I found starts by describing the first wise man as a younger man who, in his youthful idealism, looked for a king who could rule justly and well. And so he brought gold, a gift befitting such a king. The second man was middle-aged, who had deep questions that he could not find answers to anywhere else. And so he was searching for a god to provide those answers. He brought frankincense in the hopes of worshiping such a god. The third was the oldest, who had lived a sinful life and was looking for a savior. He brought myrrh with him in an attempt the savior could heal him of his sins and his past. Let me switch again. There is another account that is called the Revelation of the Magi, and this one I had not heard before. But it was supposed to have been written by the Magi themselves and supposedly came out of the library in the Vatican. It tells the story of the journey from the east to Bethlehem following a star. But in this account, the star is actually more of a star child that leads them, clearing their paths of all obstacles, giving them magical rest and stamina despite little provisions and long journeys. The star child then actually transforms into the baby Jesus in Bethlehem and gives them their own great commission to go back and preach the good news. The revelation of the Magi ends with them being baptized by the Apostle Thomas. In some of the stories, the wise men have each been given a name and a specific look. Our first is Gaspar, also sometimes known as Casper. He has brown skin with brown hair with a brown beard, although he doesn't always have a beard. He is the king of Sheba. He typically wears a green cloak and a gold crown with green jewels. And he's the one that brings frankincense to Jesus. The second is Melchior, who's the king of Arabia. He always has a beard, which is white, to match his white hair and his white skin. And he wears a gold cloak, and so naturally brings gold as his gift. The third is Belshazzar, who has black skin and a black beard, although sometimes he is seen without his beard as well. He is a king from Egypt and wears a purple cloak. He brings the myrrh. Next, some scholars believe, because of the gifts presented, that the wise men were courtiers for the Nabatean king Aretes IV. Can you change one for me? Around the time of the birth of Jesus, the Nabataeans controlled the Arabian Peninsula and the trade routes in that entire area. Arabia was known for its gold mines and was also a rare place where shrubs grew from which sap could be collected that then made both myrrh and incense. So gold, frankincense, and myrrh were the specific cash crops from this specific area. And this account basically believes that they would have been more diplomatic gifts and that the wise men were sent to King Herod because they believed the child was going to be his heir, and wanted to make peace and hopefully not have higher taxes or conquest later on in the future when this heir had grown up and taken over. Next one. Clearly, there's no shortage of theories surrounding the wise men, and they all make for pretty good stories. But let's look at some of what we actually know. The word used in Greek is magos, which is where our English word of magic comes from. The Greek word magos comes from the Persian word magupati, which was a title actually given to priests who served in royal courts in ancient Persian religions. So in Daniel, we find the same word used when Daniel and the other wise men are called upon to interpret the king's dreams. And they did this by studying the stars. So essentially a combination of what we understand as astronomy and astrology today. Astrology back then, however, was more of a well-developed science than it is today. I read my horoscope if I come across it in a paper, and if it's really good, then I decide to believe in astrology for that day. And if it's really bad, then I decide that astrology is junk and I'll never read it again. But back then, it was often believed that the stars would announce certain things. And so there's several instances where in Roman historians speak of a world ruler coming from Judea, and the wise men would study the stars intensely in order to determine if there was any change or new or brighter lights at different times. And there's some cases where they say that Jupiter and Saturn were aligned, and that's in several different historical records around the same time. Which would mean that would be a brighter light than normally would have been there. And we also know that they were taken seriously because Herod, when they come to him, he doesn't immediately dismiss them. He calls his own wise men, and they come up with the exact same answer, that the baby is going to, or the Messiah, king, is going to come from Judea. And he then tells them that they need to come back once they have found him. We know that doesn't happen, obviously. All right, can we change again? And so that's really all we actually know. They came from the east. There could have been two of them. There could have been 30. They knew the prophecies of the Old Testament. They understood that they were looking for a king of the Jews. They had come to worship him specifically. And verse 11 mentions a star over a house, not a cave, stable, or manger. So the wise men were not present the night that Jesus was born, but arrived sometime later. He was probably one or two then. Let's move on to the three gifts. We're going to start by watching a video that tells us how the gifts were found. Hopefully, maybe.
Prince!
Ah, Jaspis! So good to see you again.
We were just preparing to depart to Bethlehem to visit the manger.
Forgive my truancy. Even as a wise man, it proved difficult to find the perfect gift for the Prince of Peace.
Ah, yes.
And what gift did you choose, Jaspis?
I desired something both precious and unique. So I traveled through Egypt for 3 months to the land of Punt and found a bottle of frankincense.
Oh, a perfect gift indeed, Jaspis. I too traveled far to the Arabian Peninsula, nearly losing my life in exchange for a bottle of myrrh.
How glorious.
Yes.
Brothers, I have a confession to make. I'm afraid that my gift did not require a long journey. Oh? But verily, I did sell all that I own to procure this gold for our Lord.
Balthazar, most impressive.
Yes.
Doron, I nearly forgot about you. What have you found for the Almighty One, even the King of Kings?
Well, I decideth to be a little more practical in my gift selection, so don't judge.
Of course not, Doron. I'm sure that you spent many years selecting a humble yet appropriate item.
Yes. Yes, that is, yep, sure did. Well, we better head out, brothers.
Show us the gift, Doron.
Is it just me, or is the star starting to look a little dimmer? You know, we should get going.
Show us the gift, Doron.
All right, fine. But remember, we all agreed beforehand on a 10-shekel limit.
And none of you followed that. Relax, Doron, for it is not the price that is important, but the thought that truly...
I got him a gift card.
That's great! Yes! Yes!
Why did I put this off until the last minute? This is like the least wise thing I have ever done.
I'm sure it'll be fine, Doron.
No, no. You guys always do this to me. You remember last year at the Wise Men White Elephant Gift Exchange? You brought an actual white elephant. How was I supposed to compete with that?
I'm sure your gift will get used eventually.
Yes. Yay, perhaps Joseph will use it to buy a new tool belt.
Yes. Tool belt?
Or as a re-gift.
But in any case, brethren, we must depart.
No, I can't show up to the manger with this. Mary's gonna be like, gold, frankincense, myrrh, gift card?
Okay.
Wow, what a perfect gift for my son, a.k.a. the most important person ever.
Settle down, Doron. Just make sure that you give it with
even the shepherd boy is gonna one-up me with a cute, adorable baby wool hat he made. Man, they're gonna call me a fool man after this.
Look, I'll tell them we went halfsies on the myrrh.
Trust me, he'll know that we didn't, okay? I mean, I just gotta pray that this gift is good enough to... Wait, this expires 1 AD. That's today! I gotta come up with something else! Out of my way!
What are we going to do, Jaspers? They're expecting 4 gifts.
You need a 4th gift, you say?
All right, let's take the little drummer boy. Get out of here while Doron's distracted.
Yes.
Go.
Hey, guys! I did it! The perfect gift for... Guys?
Hey.
Oh, I see how it is. So you're the 3 wise men now, huh? Yeah, like that'll catch on. Y'all gonna miss me?
Thank you so much for watching our video, guys. And while...
All right. So we don't really know how many wise men there were, or if one tried to give a gift that wasn't as special as the other ones. But we do have 3 gifts. Matthew 2:11, they were presented in worship. All 3 of the gifts would have come from the Arabia, which would have been east of Bethlehem. And they all held great monetary value. Gold, probably the one that we most understand because we still use it today. Gold was a treasured commodity in the ancient world. And in Bible, it's listed as an asset along with livestock, servants, gemstones, etc. Gold was also particularly associated with wealth and royalty. When the Queen of Sheba visits Solomon in 1 Kings, she brought great quantities of gold with her to present to Solomon. Frankincense is still used in parts of the Middle East and Africa today. It's a gum resin that is collected by scraping the bark of certain native trees, and then the beads of that resin are dried. When it's burned as incense, it creates a strong and beautiful aroma. In ancient times, because of the high cost and the limited supply, it was not available to be used every day for household things, and so it was only used with ceremonial worship in religious ceremonies. Myrrh, probably the least one that we know about, like frankincense, was also a gum resin dried and compressed and then burned to produce an aromatic smoke. It was also used as a rich perfume, and it was also used to treat conditions that ranged from battle wounds to skin inflammations. Myrrh was used as a painkiller. Mark tells us when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was offered wine mixed with myrrh for that very reason. Jesus did not drink the wine. So let's talk about the spiritual connections to these gifts. And I found this fascinating because I had not really heard or read about these gifts in this particular way before. And while the wise men may not have realized the significance of the gifts that they were bringing, I believe God knew exactly what they were doing, and the gifts foreshadowed Jesus' ministry and who he is. Gold, again, the easiest to see the connection to. The gold was the gift most often brought to kings. So we know they specifically asked King Herod where the king of the Jews was. They believed Jesus was going to be king. And as it turns out, Jesus is the King of Kings. Whether they truly understood that can only be speculation. Next, frankincense. Because it was only used in religious ceremonies, it is highly likely the wise men presented this gift to Jesus with an understanding that he was some sort of deity. Again, doubtful they would have understood the full significance of this, but later we come to know Jesus as the only true God. In Exodus 30, frankincense is connected with temple worship from the Old Covenant, and they used a recipe of spices mixed with pure frankincense, and this was consecrated as being pure and holy. And in fact, the frankincense mixture was the only type that was used at the altar of God. Next is myrrh. Exodus 30, again, in regard to the worship in the Old Covenant, Liquid myrrh was the main ingredient in anointing oil, used to ceremonially prepare the priests, instruments, altar, and the temple before the sacrifices could be made. Myrrh was also used by the Canaanites and the Egyptians in their embalming practices. When Nicodemus brings his spices and herbs in order to embalm Jesus, myrrh is one of them. The gift of myrrh that the wise men would have presented would have foreshadowed two things. First, that Jesus was going to die. And second, that Jesus was going to be the ultimate sacrifice, pure and holy. These specific gifts, which I always knew as being rare and expensive and brought in worship, also tell us that the toddler Jesus was going to be the King of Kings, the only God, and the perfect and last sacrifice. Next. Two more significant points about the wise men that I wanted to make. And again, I guess that I had known this or read it, but it had never really sunk in before. First, the wise men would have been the first Gentiles to worship Jesus. Yes, the Jews are God's people, and Jesus came to save them. But from the very beginning of Jesus' life on earth, the Gentiles were present, which is great news for us, because I assume most of us are Gentiles. I've always questioned the concept of what would have happened had the Jews not rejected Jesus and the Gentiles brought in. There's arguments made on both ways, and Matthew tells us that Jesus specifically tells people he came for the sheep of Israel and nobody else. And the disciples got into arguments over Gentiles becoming Christians and adopting or not adopting Jewish practices and customs because they were right or wrong. But I think it's clear from the wise men being specifically shown a star that led them to Jesus that Gentiles were part of God's plan of salvation from the very beginning. Next, the wise men would have been the first missionaries of Jesus. This would have been true even if the star had not turned into baby Jesus and instructed them to do so. The wise men had traveled to see Jesus, and because they were warned not to go back to see King Herod, they made it out of Israel alive and back to where they had come from. And while this is the last the Bible tells us of the wise men, you can be sure that the wise men told people of their journey, who they had found, what they had experienced. First, if you follow a star to get somewhere, even if you're a respected scientist, you're going to want to make sure that people know that you were correct in your methodology and beliefs. Second, you bring gifts that are that expensive and rare with you. People are going to want to know what you did with them. And third, that's what people do. They tell stories about their lives, even the mundane aspects. One look at Facebook will tell you that. And again, did the wise men realize the significance of what they were telling others? Did they know that they had just seen the only true King and God? I don't know. But I do know that God uses our meager attempts to do great things, and I have no doubt that God used the wise men's story to spread the news about himself outside of Israel. The worship team can come on up. So my dad always told me never to preach a sermon or have a lesson that didn't have a so what factor, the significance of what the message holds for us today. And sometimes this has been the hardest part of, I mean, I like the history and I like presenting and I like telling it, so how does this affect us? One more. So what does the wise men hold for us today? First, people are searching for Jesus, even in Seattle. Even if they don't really know who or what they are searching for, they are searching. And Christmas time naturally lends itself to this searching. Cindy Lou and the Grinch even sings about the message of Christmas and what's lost and what the meaning of Christmas really is and how that affects the Whos. Siri actually has the top 10 answers to what is the meaning of life. I did not actually read the article, I just saw the headline, so I'm not sure what she says the top 10 meanings, purpose of life is, but it's there because people are asking the question. People are hungry for something, and the materialism that comes along with Christmas is not cutting it. Romans 10:14 says, "How then can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" Next one, last one. Our responsibility this Christmas, as we're telling everybody about our travel plans, the food that we cooked or ate, the relatives we don't really want to see or the ones we do want to see, the presents we are giving are the ones that we are getting. In all of that, we are to share the real reason about Christmas. And that reason is a baby that was born who would then change the world forever.